Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain. We're looking about a 4-hour flight time today. We got clear skies, good visibility. Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff.
Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
You're damn right. Let's go hour number one on a Tuesday. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling producing, getting you the great intros. Little overcast, a little drizzly out there. 50% chance of rain today. High of 53, low of 49 tonight. Back up to 66 tomorrow with a 20% chance of rain. Thanks to Troy Kimmel and his Austin Radio Network forecast. Kind of gloomy out there. This is not your kind of weather, right? I mean, this is a little gloomy.
Yeah. I mean, it's... But what I like about it is I was driving around today and I thought, what would I be doing from 3 to 7? Especially with this type of weather.
Oh, I see. You'd like to have weather that wouldn't encourage you to want to be outside? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
while we're here?
If you have to work, yeah, I look outside and I go, well, we're talking sports and getting paid for this.
That's true.
Pretty good deal.
That's true. So it's better than if it was like 65 and sunny right now.
Yes.
Yeah. That's fair. And I could see the 65 and
we're
sunny.
We're looking out on 360 and you see chicks and Jeeps.
That's true.
In bikinis. I'm going to Martin Springs.
That, I guess, is a little better because I'm the one that actually faces the window. You kind of have to turn to look out a window. But, yeah, I guess it's kind of better that way.
Whatever happened to that hawk you guys were talking about?
Oh, the station.
Hopefully that thing's dead.
The station buzzard? Oh, I'm sure it's not dead. It eats the dead things. That thing was huge. I had a couple big buzzards in the neighborhood the other day looking for something. There must have been something dead out in the green belt thereafter.
Probably in your backyard.
May have been. Big wingspan on those birds. I did find a couple. They had a couple mice the other day.
Jeez.
I threw them out there for them. They're good.
God, you're like the Blue Line.
Overall, I think.
I mean, I don't know if the Blue Line, Subway, or you have more rodents.
I'm telling you, it's weird. And then I don't understand. There's one trap I have. I swear, I set it. But I don't put anything in it. And it's hitting over and over again. It's like a slot machine in Vegas. Where no matter what you do, you're walking by and somebody's winning every single time. I set that trap. 2 days later, there's a mouse.
Yeah, you need to get that fixed.
It doesn't matter what is going on.
Something's going on there.
Yeah. All right. I'm trying to get him out, though. Trying to get him out. Hope you're having a good Tuesday. It is the day before Valentine's Day. Coming up in the 4, 5, and 6 o'clock hour, we will get some more Sherry's Berries winners for our Kiss Cam contest. Thank you to everybody who sent in your cool stories of when sports and love collided in your life. We've got some good stories today, and we'll get into that in the 4 o'clock hour. Valentine's Day is tomorrow. Hope you're ready for that, if you need to be ready for that.
Obviously, there was a party in here.
There was you got some crumbs over there? What's going on?
Crumbs, powder, I don't know what's going on.
Trey, there should still be some cupcakes left over. We had Gigi's Cupcakes in studio a little bit earlier. We were speaking with Michael Griffin and Brian Arakpo.
Did they come in?
We're co-owners. They weren't in studio, but they were on the phone. They're co-owners of a new Gigi's Cupcakes location. Nashville-based, but they're here in Austin now. It's out in Bee Cave on 620 and 71.
Cool. Dude, I bet Griffin and Arakpo could kill some cupcakes if they needed to. I bet you they could get after it.
Making them or eating them?
Eating them is what I was talking about. Yes. Like, if you needed if it's their thing, I would assume that, like, Brian Arakpo, I'm guessing, can down a cupcake in no time flat.
Who's a freak?
Yeah, he's a heck of a player. Still is, man. Still is with, he's still with the Titans, right?
Yeah.
Is that right? He was with the Redskins.
Titans. And Griffin would have played together.
I think. Yeah, right. They would have been on the same team. Another one of those great guys that came through, a good guy, but also a great player, had a great name. He filled all the boxes. He checked everything.
Michael Griffin, to me, I don't know if there's another strong safety I'd take.
Oh, man.
If I could just have one for the rest of my life.
He was something else.
God, that safety tandem, too, man.
Oh, he and Huff? Jeez.
Yeah, they could cover it up. They could cover it up. That's cool you guys got to talk to them. And cool that they're...
Were they good?
Yeah.
Were the cupcakes good?
Yes, that's what I was talking about. Yeah. Oh, were you asking about
cupcakes?
No, the cupcakes are really good. There's one that is a chocolate peanut butter pretzel.
Ooh.
Another that was a chocolate chip cookie dough. Brad had the wedding cake. You really like that one? Yeah, lots of good options. I assume that there's still at least a couple over in sales.
I love that
it's
idea.
It's ironic that the Brad liked the wedding cake.
There's a he pointed out as much.
That is ironic. I didn't see Brad today. I saw him literally walking out the door. How are we on Brad Kellner Tan Man today? Was it very noticeable, or where is he today?
I recommend people go to Courtesy Wave because I tweeted out the before shower and after shower pictures.
Oh,
so he snapped a shot before he stepped into the shower after the Texas game last night.
Okay,
if he had kept
this. That
tone,
it's funny.
There would have been problems today because it would have been a very insensitive look, a C. Thomas Howell Soul Man look, if
you
will.
Are you serious? Was it that bad?
But after he took the shower, it doesn't look bad on him. I told him he's probably going to be able to make more plays than normal on Dirty Sixth Street over the next couple of days because he's got that just got back from a relaxing vacation sheen about him.
That first picture is awesome. It looks like...
Isn't that funny?
What is it? Okay, here's what it looks like. It looks like in the first picture that Brad is an actor in a movie, and in the scene he has to either be a zombie or like a burn victim, and this is layer one. Like, this is the first part of it, and he's about to get in the makeup chair and really have them add on to it. It looks like that's where he's headed. Or like he has to play an alien in a movie, right? And they got to really base it up.
Yeah.
And then lay something else on there. That's funny. Well, that's good. Yeah, I'm glad to see that after the shower, he does look normal. You're right. That looks like a normal human being.
In fact, he may think now, okay, that's probably a pretty good, pretty good tone, right?
He was questioning whether this should become a regular thing.
Ooh, I don't think he needs to become a spray tan guy.
I know.
I don't know if that's encouraged.
No, yeah, I was about to say, you need to encourage him to do that.
Do I?
We need to encourage him to become a
spray tan guy.
Doesn't he need to hang out at GNC and lift a lot of weights and smoothies and that whole thing?
No,
I want to see his life go in that direction.
That's the problem, Kevin. We only think of those guys as spray tan guys. We need to get all guys, of especially Brad kind of guys, just thin, pale guys.
Not all guys.
We need to get
the
them spray tanning. I don't know. He told me to pretend like he needs to spray tan.
Yeah, he's trying to... It's very sadistic of you.
It's not my thing, but
I know it's not your thing, which is why it's weird you trying to get people on it.
If you've ever seen me in bare feet...
Question your intentions.
You know it's not my thing. I've got the... perma sock line down there
we all know you and bare feet
ankle sock.
That's a tight relationship.
That is unnecessary. Have you sent anybody a foot emoji yet in 2018? Have you got the new emojis?
I haven't. I did upload or download. Is it upload or download?
Sure. Let's go download.
I westloaded.
Let's do
sideload.
Sideload.
Let's not do that. Let's go download.
Yeah, that's gonna open up the text line.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I haven't seen it. Let me try here.
Because we talked about the other day.
Johnny one.
There's a big batch of new emojis, but Trey, maybe you know this. Does one need to? Because I don't care. But does one need to go grab these emojis, or do they just magically show up on your phone and they're available?
You have to sideload it.
I was always under the impression that an update gives you the new emojis.
Oh, so if you just do the update on your phone, you're fine. All right, there you go, emoji people. They're out there. Kevin has started.
This is so ridiculous how many emojis there are.
Kevin started sending me the flag of the country of Chad instead of typing my name.
Well, because when I type in Chad, it gives me the option right next to it. So that's just too easy.
And
I wouldn't go search for it.
And I'll admit the flag is more interesting than my name. I have a fairly boring name. So
it's a pretty cool flag.
I totally get that. Totally get that. All right. There is sports and stuff going on today, the day before Valentine's Day. What do we need to talk about, Kevin? Anything on your mind today?
Well, since we want to keep it interesting, where are the feet here? I can't find the feet. I don't know if I have the feet.
Feet are a new thing.
Okay. I don't have them.
I can't believe with the Rex Ryan story back in the day, they didn't have feet already on the list.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right. And he's not the first guy to have a foot issue,
no.
A foot deal.
I think there should be a hand thing.
Could be a hand thing. The foot thing has worked because I'm a Monty Python guy. They had the foot in their intro. It would always stomp everything.
Yeah.
How would you not have a foot? I don't understand.
Oh, man. We took a foot right in the ass last night. Just as college basketball. Dude, that was just hard to watch. Let's not beat around the bush. That was really, really awful basketball.
There's a difference between close and good. And you can have a basketball game that ends in a 12-point margin. That's fantastic.
Right.
And you can have last night.
Duke-UNLV 90 was a fantastic game. It was 103-73. But if you want pure beauty and you want to see in our lifetime maybe for one night the best college basketball team with personnel and the way they played we've ever seen. Well, yeah, it was a 30-point spread. But so, you're right.
Sometimes
about that.
That can be good.
Yes.
Because you're listening to that broadcast, and man, Fran Fischel is trying so hard. Somebody hit a bucket, and it made it a two-point game.
Job, man.
And he said, oh, this is so much fun. These two teams fighting.
Stop.
And he tried to describe them as two good teams. It's like, all right, man, whatever you need to do to convince yourself. But it was one of those, just because it was close doesn't make it good. 25-22 at the half. And they were on a 50-44 pace. Thank God the second half picked up a little bit.
9-4 with the under 12 timeout.
Oh, yeah. And
that hit me in 2000 when I was covering it, and we had a couple of those. And I thought,
that was one of the first things. You remember that affecting you?
The biggest thing was the only Final Four I've been to was in 98. And I realized, oh, man. You know, I mean, I couldn't lie to myself. I'm not one of those people.
98 in San Antonio?
Yep.
That would have been a Kentucky, right?
Kentucky, Utah, Stanford, North
Carolina. There you go.
Yeah.
One of the first teams. Now, you tell me this, because I know you're a historian of the game. Was that Utah team one of the first teams that made it to a final where you really realized, oh, God, that's part of the problem?
Not necessarily, because they had Doliak, Andre Miller.
Okay.
Van Horn would have been gone, I believe, the year before, but... But no, it was just more the play.
The game.
Like, you just can't get away from what are your eyes saying? Is this as entertaining as it was?
Right.
No, and it's just continuing to get worse. And last night was when you've got to watch your team. Man, I just saw a lot of Texas fans saying, you know, I don't want to watch this. And then you think about, okay, well, why would they go to a game then if they don't like the overall product?
Right.
Not just to the Texas product, the overall product.
Yeah, and there's no reason to get on them about not going to games.
Which is why I've kind of been, I get it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. One of our fans and a guy that you know, Leonard, my man Leonard Love.
I saw that last
tweeted
night.
Out last night. It was so bad he turned on the dog show. Leonard has never told me he likes dogs. I don't even know if he's a dog guy.
Well, I love dogs, and yeah. I don't watch the dog show.
Yeah, he's never ever talked to me about the dog show. I don't think he watches it. I'm not sure if he's a dog guy at all. But yeah, he tweeted out a picture of the Dalmatian last night and said, yeah, I've even started watching this. And I thought, oh, God. I mean, I was watching the dogs back and forth, but I was, you know, watching it because I wanted to, not because the basketball was terrible and it drove me there.
So we can get in, and we definitely will get into what Texas didn't do well and what happened in second half and obviously in overtime. But it is important to get that out there, because one of the things I love about this show that I don't hear or see enough. Now, Fran Fischel is getting paid to mask that,
right?
So he's the last person. I think he does a good job, but you need to listen to on that sales pitch. One of the things we will do is be honest about what we're seeing, even though we are going to talk about it as an actual basketball game. But that was just really hard to watch, and I know I'm not alone on that.
Okay, so as you break some of it down, if I tell you before the game that Coleman, Osadkowski, and Roach will each have 15,
mm-hmm.
and Bamba has another double-double.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like a good recipe.
It does. I mean, if you would have told me that there's four 15s in there, right?
Yeah.
Dylan, Coleman, and Roach, all with 15. But it's also what starts as your three-point percentage. Uh-huh. Then I would have backed off a little.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. 16,
so we'll round up.
Right, 3-for-19 from beyond the arc. The only good news there is that they didn't hoist up any more to make it over 20. But, I mean, they're just – we talked about it all season, about why do you keep shooting them when you keep missing them. And there was a sequence last night that I thought summed up the whole game. Texas comes down the floor, and I'm not even going to say players' names because it doesn't even matter. But guard up at the top dishes out to the right wing, quick three, early in the shot clock, air ball. Baylor goes the other way and gets a layup. And to me, I'm like, well, that's kind of been the way this is sort of looked.
Mm-hmm.
And just all those rushed shots. They did outscore Baylor in the paint.
Shouldn't see that many air balls at this level.
No, you should. You're right about that.
You just shouldn't.
You're right about that, too. And it didn't. And as far as I remember.
Seen it a lot for the last 5-10 years.
Yeah, as far as I remember, it was not tipped. The ball was not affected. It was just a flat-out air ball. And even though they did find 38 in the paint and they outscored Baylor in the paint, boy, it just – it didn't feel like there was much of a cohesive plan.
Can I give Bamba some love?
Despite some of those. Please do.
Got on him because I thought his game was overrated. His stat line was overrated because of the 5 rebounds against TCU. 16 rebounds. He came out right away and was going to be more aggressive and more assertive. And I really like what I'm seeing from him. As frustrating as his team is to follow and watch, it is better than it was last year. And that's a reality that we need to be honest about on the other side. But watching him develop and seeing him kind of grow up and try and be more aggressive, I feel like he's responded well this year when he needs to.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, you're right. Very aggressive on the boards right away.
Didn't take a three.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
he's at the point last night where I'm thinking, man, if you do want to step into that at the top of the key in rhythm, that's better than Eric Davis and Kerwin Roach launching up whatever they're launching up.
Oh, yeah, there were some bad ones last night. There's no doubt about that. This is kind of interesting. I want to get y'all's thoughts on this. I heard Rod as I'm driving in today, and apparently Cedric Golden during the game, of the Statesman, Cedric Golden, we know Cedric.
Yeah.
He tweeted out during the game asking a question, why does Mo Bamba stand behind all the players on a free throw? Like Bamba, I guess he was noticing he never was down on the block on a free throw. And I thought, I guess that's a fair question, right? A guy of that size, why would he be standing back where like a point guard would be standing?
Right.
So I don't know. That's something I have never noticed. So it's something I'm going to try to pay attention to now, but maybe something to kind of keep an eye on, because I would assume his best spot there would be down, you know, down low to get rebounds.
Right. I'm assuming Texas is shooting at that point. So he would not on the block.
Correct. Now, that is my guess. You're right. Yeah.
But still, with his arm reach.
Yeah, who cares, right? I mean, he could be on the third or fourth block.
And maybe to pull him out, not to get a cheapie.
Shaka's general.
For over the back.
That may be it, too. You're right.
Shaka's general strategy, though, when one of his guys is on the line, I've seen him at the ends of games when it's a tight ball game and Texas is maybe down by a little bit, pulling everybody off or away from the free throw line to where there's not a single Longhorn down there.
I don't get that.
Hmm. Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, if you're Princeton and shooting 91% as a team, then maybe.
If you know it's going in, right? If Larry Bird or Hornacek or one of those guys is on the line, that's different. It's very different.
Steve Nash is on there.
Now, we do need to give Texas, that's one place you can give them love.
Mm-hmm.
They hit those free throws last night.
They did. That's what kept them in it. 18 of 22,
that
shot 82% from the line, 16% from beyond the arc, and 36% from the field.
Yeah. Yeah, those other numbers obviously need to be much better than they were. Baylor found, and that's the other thing, and it's kind of back to what you talked about earlier.
Texas was clean, too. Let's give them that.
They were clean. You're right. What, 6 turnovers?
Five.
Five turnovers as a team. That part of it was clean, but I think it's, again, important to note, when you get to halftime and it's 25-22, I guess you can there can be games where it's because maybe both teams are just defensive machines and whatever. But
that's not the case, though. We were watching.
Right. But in this case, this was a case where somebody should have been up 15 at the half.
Yes.
If one team is going to play like that, the other team has to have a double-digit lead at the half, and it's just a comfortable win, and everybody can turn away or do whatever they want. That was my problem with last night. Somebody should have taken control. It's not like Baylor played a fantastic ball game.
No.
They just didn't, because if anybody had, they would have thrashed the other team.
Yeah, and obviously that's going through our heads when you're watching it. It's going through a lot of people's heads.
Right.
I always have that game stuck in my head that it was 92 or 93. When you guys had Joe Wilbert, I think it was a year he hit that Tech fan, which is golden.
Mm-hmm. Nice punch. Yeah.
quality
punch.
He dropped him, and that guy deserved it. You know, I mean, you're not letting those guys get back after the game.
It was asked for and answered.
Oh, it was answered.
Yeah,
but both teams were unranked. Texas was on the verge of the top 25. It was 50-49 at half. Neither team was ranked.
Right.
Southwest Conference was kind of a joke,
and you're still up in that. You're still up at that level.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're still scoring.
And that wasn't great defense, but it goes to show you that the offense is – that's been the biggest problem. That's why eyes have been turning away, because why do you watch Golden State and the Rockets?
Because the ball goes in.
And, man, you see some scoring that is really, really high level.
Because unlike football, the name is right there in this sport. It's called basketball. If the ball is not going through the basket – it's a tough definition of the sport.
It's very good, Chad.
Right?
That's actually deep.
It's just the basics of it.
Let's give Masson some credit. 26 for them off the bench.
Yeah, he was really good.
And he was really the only one that I saw maybe outside of the big guy, Luol, was really efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about everyone.
Yeah, because Luol Assoul had, 14 and 11.
He shot just below 50%.
Yeah, he was really solid. You're right. Yeah, 26 off the bench.
Masson was 12 of 17, though, from the field.
From Masson. And that's also something, another thing that Texas has not had. I'm trying to remember the last time. I guess Eric Davis had a decent game somewhat recently, but it doesn't feel like they're getting a whole lot of help, you know. And it's not a long bench to start with, obviously, but they didn't get a whole lot of help there.
And you get nothing out of a starter right now. I mean, Febres gives them,
right?
You know, he gives them 17 minutes. He shot his two threes, missed them. Only shots he took, got a rebound or two rebounds, and committed a foul.
I'm not even trying to be rude here, but have we seen him take mid-range shots? Like, I'm trying to remember if I've seen him take
one. Not really. I mean, the other parts of his game, just he does not feel comfortable out there.
Okay, because I can't remember seeing him go from 18
and
or 15.
That's where, for the people that want to get on coaching, well, how come he hasn't developed?
Right.
Where's how come that part hasn't developed?
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, if you have any thoughts on the Longhorns, the Specs text line and voicemail line is there for you. 337-3776. Coming up, we'll get you the big three, including a couple of NFL notes. Got a football story to get into as well about dropping attendance in college football, and it is all over college football.
And it makes complete sense to me.
We'll get that coming up. Also, the afternoon blitz is on the way, and at 3:50 in the crap bag, I'll tell you about the dog show last night and tonight. If you hate the froofy fluffy dogs, tonight is your night, because that's not what we have tonight at all. You're going to love it. This is Kevin's night.
Nice.
Of the dog show.
So these are, what do I call them? Dogs?
All the big dogs are coming up tonight, literally.
Oh, they don't run on batteries.
Correct. The literal big dogs are coming up tonight. Plus, I have to give a big thanks to one of our listeners. That's all coming up on The Horn.
Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn on The Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com.
Chad and Kevin with you on a Tuesday. Having a good one. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you take your date to Jack in the Box for some aioli. I didn't know they had aioli at Jack in the Box.
So Chad was asking during the break, do you guys, when you hear that, do you laugh? Really, it almost all aioli. So even if you go to a nice 3-star restaurant, I mean, maybe not, but they could have really good food, but they're just kind of renaming garlic mayo that they've whipped up together.
Oh, aioli is mayonnaise.
Yeah, but like the way they do it in that mortar pestle I was talking about,
in
Provence and certain parts of France, they would laugh at all of us who claim that that's an aioli.
Gotcha. Okay. Fair enough. I knew it's a word too fancy for me, I understood, but now I realize that
I like it.
It's not quite as
fancy. It's like
I like
truffle.
The spelling and everything. I like all the vowels.
Yeah. It's like truffle oil versus the real thing, versus real shaved truffles.
Yeah. Those are two completely different things. It'd be also the same as American balsamic vinegar and balsamico that you get in Modena.
Or American cheese.
Mm, Modena. It. Don't get me started on Modena.
That's Italy.
Oh, well, that's a place.
It's okay. Near Parma.
Yeah.
It's the cheese.
Emilia Romagna
/ balsamic capital. Yeah, it's in the north part of Italy. And it's a similar thing with American cheese versus actual cheese. And not the ass end of the cheese making process.
There's some
which is
good
what
American cheese.
Well, American cheese, the actual American cheese.
Oh, I got
cheese,
you. Actual American cheese. Okay.
It's the ass end of the cheese making process.
I've never had a truffle.
They're good.
Do I need to have a truffle?
Yeah, I mean, they're really expensive.
Isn't there a dessert truffle and then there's something else that's a truffle, or is it all
correct?
Yeah. Is it all dessert?
Yeah, no, it's not.
Okay.
It's looks like a mushroom, it's a fungi.
Okay.
That grows in pigs or dogs. Can smell them, and they're pretty amazing. Worth a hell of a lot of money.
Use a dog to
those dogs are stolen, too.
Hunting up truffles?
Yeah.
Really? They're truffle dogs?
Mm-hmm. France, Italy.
God, you can use dogs for so many things. It's
unbelievable. No, I mean, dogs are... Which is why when I see that competition, I would love to see more of that.
It's incredible.
All right, we're going to go out to Italy and take a look at Franco and whoever and have them have a truffle competition.
Oh, I'm sure they do that. They just probably put it on Animal Planet in the middle of the afternoon somewhere.
True.
They probably have those. And I saw a competition where I thought of you. They did this. They showed a competition where they had all kinds of different things that the dogs were doing, where it was, you know, sit and stay and doing little tricks and doing things. But it was more active. It was more than just here's the dog.
Okay.
And, yeah, they had some of that going on.
You need that foie before you have truffles.
Okay. Oh, I'll let y'all lead me into whatever food I need to go into.
I'd like to see Chad have some uni, too.
I have no preconceived notions here.
But, I think you'll love everything.
But the thing you will love about me...
Your palate is like your sex palate. It's all open.
The thing that you will love about me food-wise is, other than something that is just dreadfully spicy, I will eat just about anything.
Okay.
Like, I don't have any preconceived notions of, oh, my God, I'd never eat squid, or, oh, I can't believe I wouldn't eat an ant, or whatever it is.
Trey and
like,
I are doing Szechuan pot. I think we need to get Matthew Odom on, maybe later this week.
Oh, yes.
He was talking about a place. It's off south. I think it's right near the Whole Foods or Central Market.
Okay.
And right off Ben White. And he said there's a really good Szechuan place. Legit.
Yeah, Szechuan House up north on Burnett is also a solid spot.
Is that serious, too? Will they do a pot? Because I want to do a pot.
I believe so. We went there Christmas night after I nearly burned my one-year-old son's hand off. And
How's that doing?
It was an enjoyable meal. He's back to normal. It's crazy.
He's ready to roll.
Crazy to watch the healing process.
Any scarring?
At that age.
No.
No scarring?
No.
Good for him. Good for him. By the way, to clarify, doing a pot and doing the pot, two different things.
Two different things, yeah.
Okay.
And this is like a pot of...
Noodles and...
No. It's a pot of burning everything.
Oh.
Some hot, some cold. It's going to really mess up your... I mean, we're going to be sweating. You're going to think you're tripping on drugs.
We're going to be sweating while the meal's happening?
Oh, my God. Absolutely. You're going to be blowing your nose. There's going to be... Yeah, it's...
I don't want to blow my nose while eating.
Well, you're going to have to. This is going to clean you out.
It's not really my definition of a good meal. Well, I guess sometimes
this is going to be... This is going to be a different meal.
Yeah, sometimes it is.
Have you guys ever watched somebody eat something that's too hot for their palate? It is really one of the truly enjoyable things.
Oh, I think it's hilarious. It is.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen it.
Because you know they're going to be fine. It's not even like when someone falls and it's like, wait a minute, did you break your back? And then I can laugh if you didn't, you know?
Yeah, and I'm not going to flip out and run out of the room or anything, but I'll let you know if it's too hot.
Oh, no. Trust me.
Yeah, you'll know.
We're all going to know because we're going to be looking at each other thinking, you gringo.
Yeah, right.
And they're really going to be laughing.
Exactly. All right. A reminder that Kevin Hart is coming to town. Register for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Kevin Hart Irresponsible Tour, because that's much more interesting than the Kevin Hart Responsible Tour. Hart's going to bring the routine to Frank Irwin Center November 2nd. Did Christina write this card, by the way? She wrote that like a 68-year-old person would write it. Kevin Hart is bringing his routine to the Frank Irwin Center. Come on, Christina. Come on.
That might be Ray.
He'll be doing a set.
Bringing his routine. Tickets on sale now at TexasBoxOffice.com. Register on the contest page at HornFM.com. Tomorrow for that, I'm going to get like two or three blank cards that say, write it yourself, a-hole.
Yeah.
Sorry. My bad.
Oh, you okay there?
Didn't mean to make fun of anybody there. But
all right, so we had a question on the text line about Texas and whether or not throwing more lobs.
Yeah, somebody said they feel like alley-oop might be their best offense right now.
Yeah, we've been saying that for a long time. Some of these teams are adjusting, and Trey made that point during the break. Trey, you want to expand on that? Because Baylor's not the first team we've seen either help side or try and muck that up.
Boy, Chad, you asked a question yesterday, and I was reminded of the answer watching that game last night. You asked if Drew is a good coach. He does some things well as a basketball coach, but I'm not crazy about his X's and O's game management on either end of the court. But specifically on defense, one thing that K-State and TCU did a really good job of is making sure that when guys were collapsing or going to the ball to help when Texas guards were driving to the bucket, that did not include whoever was on Mo Bamba, because as soon as you free him up, he becomes available for that lob. Baylor did a terrible job of that last night. They kept leaving Mo Bamba whenever usually it was Roach. There were a couple of other times that it was somebody else. Whenever Roach would get into the paint, Mo's guy would come over and immediately, that's an automatic 2 points. That is the best offense Texas has right now and really the only consistent offense that they have right now. But other teams, better coach teams, you're going to see a lot more of whoever it is who's stuck on Mo, not leaving him, even if it means that one of the other guys is getting a little bit of a chippy around the basket, because it's not as high a percentage as Mo Bamba catching it above everybody else's reach and then throwing it down.
Yeah, now I'm remembering whichever game that Blanks and Low Galindo did. They did a good job of talking about that on one key play where, yes, a guy slid in front of the guard involved. It was that last play against TCU where he tried to throw that alley-oop, but they also pointed out that that other guy slid in front of Bamba.
Mucked it up,
yeah. And messed the play up. Yeah, it's a good point.
You know, you watch Duke, too, and they will get it to Bagley and who's the other cat?
Carter?
Yeah, Wendell Carter. They'll get it to them on the elbow or in the low block, and it's just so easy to get it in there. Now, why is that? Because you have to respect the shooter, so if you do spread, it will create some open either passing lanes or driving lanes.
Yeah.
And Texas just doesn't have that. I mean, why would you respect them from beyond the arc?
Next up for Texas is, and you've probably seen it on the schedule, it is at Norman Saturday morning for this one, 11 a.m. tip. So not only do you go to Norman, you got to get up early for an ESPN 11 o'clock game.
Yeah, did you guys felt like they fought last night? I mean, we know it was ugly, and it was, at that point, offensively, it was what it was. I mean, it was 56-56 at the end of regulation.
Right. Oh, I thought there was some fight to him. Yeah.
I did, too.
Yeah, I thought there was. It wasn't that. Yeah, it wasn't like a quitting kind of thing where you'd think there was apathy or they weren't involved. It wasn't like the Tennessee State thing or what was that other game we recently had? Was it K-State? That game.
K-State, they had no energy.
Just right, just lethargic, and it was after the Oklahoma thing, right, where they couldn't find the energy again. Now, I didn't think it was that. It was just, it was bad ball.
Mm-hmm.
It was some, they just didn't play the game, obviously, they wanted to play, and now they are in a 5-8 hole. Let's start right there with the big three here.
The Big Three. This segment brought to you by the Yellow Rose, voted Austin's number one cabaret. With 17 flat screens and 3 jumbo theater screens to watch your favorite sports, the Yellow Rose, an Austin legend.
So in addition to the Texas game, West Virginia handled their business 82-66 last night. West Virginia, 9 of 16 from beyond the arc. If they're going to do that, it's tough to handle.
They could be a Final Four team. I talked about them probably being out in the first weekend, but I don't expect them to shoot like that. But yeah, if you run into West Virginia the way they D up and the way that they can put pressure on you and they shoot, good luck.
So now there are 3 teams clearly at the top, just like Kevin talked about yesterday. West Virginia, you know, solidifies their spot there in that third position. The other two, of course, are Texas Tech and Kansas. They both play tonight. Oklahoma is at Lubbock to take on Tech. Kansas goes to Iowa State for some Hilton magic. That's a 6 o'clock tip for both of those games. If you want to watch the rest of the conference, get after it. Last night, the Spurs lost a close one to Utah. Spurs fans, you're only a half game up on Minnesota for that 4 seed. Remember, if you slip to the 4, you'd have to play Golden State in the second round if you can win the 4-5, which could be tough.
Did you see Steve Kerr, what he did last night?
I did. I can't figure out whether it's great or whether it is an indictment on basketball. I can't figure out which of the two it is.
I've got no problem with it. It may be an indictment on basketball. I see. I hadn't really thought about that as much, but...
Or it could just be an indictment on the Phoenix Suns.
Right, which is fine. It's a daycare right now.
They're awful.
So that would be an indictment.
Yeah.
But I was cool with it. Man, he's trying to reach them.
Yeah, I loved the communication angle of it.
Yeah.
And it ended up being 3 or 4 different guys. Most of it was Draymond Green, but he let his players run breaks, timeouts.
Yeah. And they're drawing up plays.
Scheme it up and draw up plays. He said afterwards, they're tired of my voice.
Right. And they have been.
So, yeah, right. For a month now, he says he just can't reach them. So he's trying to do something before this All-Star break to get them restarted or regenerated. And
criticizing that is just because you want to criticize something that day.
Yeah. He thought that was it. It's an interesting move. It was a very interesting.
So what about Oklahoma at Tech?
Tech needs to handle their business. They're at home.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting. Keenan Evans and Young.
And Young has not been terrific at times on the road. Tech should win the game.
No, they should.
And if they win it and Kansas wins, they're still one game up, so they would keep that one game advantage on Kansas for the conference title, which obviously Kansas has won for, what, 13 in a row.
Let's not forget that. That game was pretty close. I watched Iowa State in Lawrence, and Kansas ended up pulling away and winning by 4 or 5, but that's not a gimme tonight.
Also tonight, if you like the NBA, how about Cleveland at Oklahoma City? Could be interesting. New look Cleveland at Russell Westbrook tonight. That's TNT at 7. Spurs at Denver is the 9:30 TNT. In the NFL, Giants are going to hire Mike Shula.
Whoa.
Welcome back to the league, Mike Shula. He was Carolina's OC from 13 to 17, so it hadn't been gone long. Pat Shurmur's your head coach in New York. James Bechter, the DC, coming from Arizona, and now Mike Shula comes from Carolina. He was fired in Carolina, if you remember, after the year. They had not been very good. But now Mike Shula, he's got some connections with Shurmur and that staff, and also the Giants GM, I think. You know how it's all about who you know.
No, it's not about how good you are at your job.
No,
that would be stupid.
Not about that at all. Mike Shula will be the OC in New York.
Two other college basketball games tonight. Your Aggies are at Missouri. They got to win that, man.
Yeah, they do.
But you're looking good. You're feeling a lot better right now about your tournament chances. And if you win this, you go to 7-6, and you're actually, at that point, tied with Missouri in the SEC.
And more importantly for them right now, I know rankings don't matter at all. They need to stay ranked.
Mm-hmm.
They just jump back in, I think, at 21, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. They have got to stay ranked. They were 5 earlier in the year, fell all the way out. Now they're scratching their way back. They've beaten a few ranked teams. I think it's 4 times they've beaten a ranked opponent. They've got some good wins on the resume. They got to win a game like this.
Mm-hmm.
They have to win a game that no one will pay attention to unless they lose it.
Yep.
And it's on the road. Yeah, this is a big that's a nice barn too.
Right.
Missouri's place can get rolling. They were great when they were in the Big 12, and that's a good atmosphere. So that would be a big win for A&M.
Couple other ones. Number 1 Virginia.
Number 1
in the country is at Miami. They've struggled at Miami in the past. Their style and how they match up, and then good old Rick, Tennessee's going to host South Carolina.
Game they need to win.
Grant Williams better play well.
Win a game like that. They've had some big wins.
Don't be a wuss.
That Tennessee team is good. That'd be a good opportunity
for them
tonight. Yeah, peek in on Rick Barnes maybe if you get a chance. Also, before the day is over, we'll definitely talk about this college football story. Attendance down all across college football, whether you're looking at everybody in the FBS or you're just looking at Power 5, all the numbers are down in terms of attendance, and it's a pretty fascinating story with a lot of different tentacles to it.
Yeah, before we get into it, just a food for thought on this is don't confuse attendance with interest.
I agree.
So the interest and attendance in college basketball is struggling. The interest in college football is only growing, but the attendance is a different thing.
Yeah, this is an issue about where do the people that are interested go to ingest your games.
It's more, right, it's more about how do I'm going to watch, I'm really interested, but how do I want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And save some money, and it may not even just be that. I know a lot of people have plenty of money to go to as many games as they want. They enjoy, with technology and the coverage, it's gotten so good that, it's kind of nice to be at home and watch. Have some people over.
Yep.
And watch tons of games. And eat our own food and, have our own drinks that we like.
Yeah. Watch party. Send out invitations.
Not get swamp nuts at 11 a.m.
Right.
Frostbite, depending on where you're at.
That's true. That is true. We'll definitely talk about that as the show goes on. Interesting numbers out there. Dennis Dodd with another great article from CBS today. We retweeted it today, so go grab that. I'm at CHastings1049. Kevin, of course, at KevinDunn01. Trey is at Courtesy Wave. If you want to check us out on Twitter, go check out Trey's Twitter today to see Brad before and after the shower.
Ooh, you got
to
see it.
After the tanning, because it is absolutely scary. All right, coming up, we'll see about the afternoon blitz, and we'll grab 5 calls max coming right up. 447-3776 is that number. Also, we'll get you the crap bag. Right now, though, it's time for a Craig Way Sports Report. Craig Way.
basketball coaches or coaches of virtually any team sport will tell you that they don't earn their money when the team is winning, but that the salary is earned when the team is struggling, because it's up to them, the coaches, to find out exactly what is going wrong and how to fix it. That's easier said than done for the Texas Longhorn basketball team, which only 10 days ago was coming off a huge win over Oklahoma and stood 5-5 in Big 12 conference play. Now, after losing three straight contests in a five-day stretch, the most disappointing of those being last night's 74-73 double overtime loss at home to Baylor after giving up a follow slam for the winning points in the waning seconds, head coach Shaka Smart says he and his team have 5 days to physically recharge and mentally regroup after the heartbreaking defeat.
Yeah, we really do. I mean, it's there's two components. There's a physical part, and then there's a mental part. And Craig, I thought our guys really showed great fight early on when we were having a hard time putting the ball in the basket. Some shots weren't going in, and they never got too down. They kept battling. Played a really good defensive first half. Fought back when we got down in the second half by 8 or 9 points a couple different times. Forced a couple overtimes, but again, we needed to stop them one more time, and that last overtime we weren't able to.
Coming up tomorrow morning, an overall view of the Big 12 with 5 games to go and a preview of the Texas women's home contest tomorrow night. That's in our next report. I'm Craig Way.
The Blitz.
All right, let's see what kind of blitz we can get on a Tuesday. 447-3776 is that number. Here we go. Blitzer number one. You're up. No, maybe not. No? Nobody? All right, blitzer number one. You're up.
Good starter.
It's bad if you get swamped.
Uh-oh.
I know, but what's
gonna
going on?
It's going to be a swamp comment, swamp-ass comment.
Call back.
All right, it's delayed. I don't know.
All right, let's try it again. Blitzer number two. You're up.
So, guys, I know that it sucks not having football on the weekend anymore, but I'll tell you the best thing about it, though, is that we don't have people peddling their gambling tips websites on y'all Sunday shows. If you want to know how much I dislike that, call my free number at 1-800-SWAMP-NUT.
Blitzer. Oh, Blitzer number three, you're up. Uh-oh. Radio hey, down.
Guys.
Hit it.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Were y'all talking about pot earlier? This is Ricky Williams.
No.
Not exactly.
A pot.
Kevin wants to go do a pot at this food place.
Szechuan chilies.
I'm going to try it. Apparently I'm going to be blowing my nose and sweating.
Is going to be tingling?
Tingling? I like tingling. Tingling's always good.
Next blitzer.
Blitzer number four. You're up.
Hey, Shaka Smart. It was lovely seeing you graduate from the Charlie Strong School of Time Management.
Oh.
Way to leave the team hanging out there last night.
Oh, no.
He's definitely feeling some heat right now.
And finally, blitzer number five. You're up.
So foggy out here. Crappy. UT basketball sucks. No football on. I think I'm just going to sit on the couch, smoke a big fat ball.
Yeah. It is kind of that day.
That could work.
It is kind of that day.
That could work. Thank you so much, Blitzers. We appreciate it.
It is better.
Let's go one more because the first one was such a travesty.
Well, look at you being nice.
Whoa.
Blitzer number five. You're up.
The afternoon show sucks worse than Donald Trump's haircut.
That's the story of Mike Matheny and the bird poop.
All right, so there you go. Trey,
and you're listening.
Trey may have known that was going to happen.
I really
didn't.
And
that's why he wanted to get it in there. I appreciate that. All right, maybe a quick crap bag here.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
These cupcakes are great.
These pretzels are making me thirsty. That is a fancy-looking cupcake.
Telling you.
You know what, Michael Griffin and Brian Arakpo, if you're out there, that's a nice job. I'm not going to eat it because I don't want to gain lots of weight, but that looks fancy.
I don't want you to eat it because it's
sugar
quarter. High.
I'm not eating a quarter of anything. No, I'm not eating that. That's going to put some weight on. But
good stuff.
Looks really good. All right, so first off, I got to thank one of our all-time, long-time listeners, Rex, sent me this unbelievable gift. First off, there's also stuff for Kevin. Hang on.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So
I think we know Rex, right?
I've never met Rex. I don't think I've ever actually met him.
No, I think we know of him, though,
as an entity, yes.
Yes.
So, because you like Texas baseball, I don't know what the connection is here. He's giving you tortilla chips and some green, some verde. Maybe it's because you're the verde man.
I think he just listens and he knows that I love blue chips and I am the verde man. Rex, this is awesome. Thank you very much.
Also, Rex wanted me to. He gave me some beer nuts. So he wanted me to leave D's nuts for Bucky, Aaron, and Brad. So I'm leaving that for them for tomorrow morning.
Gotcha.
You can take that bag and take your stuff home with you there. And, yes, Rex, thank you for all the stuff. I'm wearing the Lime Skittles shirt that his daughter made for me. This is the good and the bad news. His daughter made me this shirt and this bag, and he put all this cool stuff in it. So that's the good news. The bad news is I'm old enough and have been doing this long enough that fans' kids are making me stuff now. Terrifying.
That's great.
Yeah, it's just scary.
By the way, I didn't think that someone made that. When obviously someone made the shirt, but I figured that was mass-produced because it's well done.
Yeah, it's very nicely done. So there you go. Like I emailed Rex today, my favorite prof at A&M always said, don't make an impression, make an impact. And when something like that happens, it makes me feel like maybe I paid attention and maybe there's a little impact to the show.
I absolutely think so.
So that's very cool. So thank you to Rex. Thanks to all the fans who come up and tell us that they like the show and text us, whatever. It does mean a lot to us.
It's a different show, and you got to know some sports.
Yeah, you got to be a wacko, too.
That's included?
Yeah, got to be a wacko.
A couple including things, but good thing is we got a lot of people listening. Appreciate
it. Yeah, it's very, very good. All right, Kevin, so tonight is night two of the dog show, okay?
How was night one?
Night one was pretty good, and the main reason is, for me now, no poodles.
Okay.
The toy poodle did not advance.
All right.
The two bigger poodles did not advance. We are poodle-less in 2018.
Why do you hate poodles? Aren't they pretty smart?
They're really smart, apparently. It's just, it's a look thing for me. I just don't like the way the dog looks.
Okay.
Don't like the real froofy, fluffy, puffy. A dog that requires that much cutting and shearing and trimming,
I agree with that.
Right? Also, no Pekingese. Very excited about that. Not a big fan of that dog. The walking, hairy bread box of a dog, the Pekingese. So, last night we got a Borzoi.
So, you're a hater on this.
I'm a hater on some of them, yes.
Okay.
The hound group was the Borzoi, or the Russian wolfhound from the old days.
All right.
Beautiful dog. A pug won the toy group. People love pugs, right? We've all seen a pug. His name is Biggie. That's fun.
They're hard not to like just looking at him.
The non-sporting was a Bichon Frise. That is a bit of a fluffy white dog.
What the hell is that?
Yeah, people like that dog.
A what?
A Bichon Frise. Yeah, very, very fancy. But the one I'm rooting for is the herding winner last night was a Border Collie.
Okay.
Those beautiful black and white dogs that, you know, herd animals and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I love them. So
I like them. You know why? Why
is that?
Work dogs.
Yeah, right.
There's a function.
This dog's name is Slick, by the way.
Nice.
Rooting for that dog. But tonight, Kevin, big dogs. Sporting group starts it. So you got Cocker Spaniels, the Setters, Golden Retrievers.
Ah, my favorite.
Labs for Jeff Ketchum if he's out there, the Weimaraners.
Is there a nicer species?
Than a golden?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Maybe Mormons?
I've never met a bad one.
But they're just so sweet.
Never met a bad one.
Dachshunds?
It is never...
I don't know.
No.
Goldens, man.
Sweet is not the word to describe every dachshund I've ever met.
Golden retrievers are just sweet.
Golden retrievers don't quite know they're that big. Dachshunds think they're that big. All of them do.
That's a good way to put
it. They have a kind of an attitude about them to be a little dog. Then it's the working dogs, Akitas, Boxers, the Mastiff.
Nice.
Dobermans.
This is my night.
Giant Schnauzer for Craig Way. He loves that dog. Great Danes, Great Pyrenees. Bucky has Great Pyrenees. Rottweilers, Siberian Huskies, St. Bernards. That's going to be the first two groups tonight. Then if you want, just turn your TV off because then it's the Terriers and then they're doing best in show. But I'm telling you, from about 7 to 9 probably is when, if you're a fan of a big dog, record it, go back and watch because it's some awesome big dogs.
Yeah.
Love these. Dogs that do not require...
I'll record it and watch. I think that's a good way to do this.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't need to be set up on a table. And they certainly can't be carried by their handler. These are big, substantial animals.
Is Half Pipe tonight? Finals?
Correct. Sean White is tonight as well at the Olympics.
That's the only thing I watch in the Winter Olympics, and that was incredible last night.
I'm glad they
Do you know any half pipe stuff?
I'm glad they added it. I'm glad they added half pipe a few years ago.
How many
Olympics ago? Because we didn't grow up watching half pipe at the Olympics.
No, but I had some friends in New York that actually knew what they were talking about.
The X Games started that.
Yeah.
Once the X Game thing caught on enough, it transferred. It's one of those few events that transferred. I think they need to transfer the snowmobile jumping because that's really awesome. But
talk about health. Like last night, like for the, they're just trying to qualify, right? And usually once you qualify, like I was thinking, okay, White's just going to have, as the one guy called, the cruiser run.
Mm-hmm.
But I figured he's not going to pull out his best stuff. But he got a 98.5 or something like that.
Yeah, he's awesome. He is awesome.
There's like four guys that are really badass. So only three get in.
Did you see the girl? Did you see Chloe Kim win?
I did not. I saw some highlights, but I didn't. For some reason, I missed that.
She thrashed that group. She got down to the end. Her last run, she'd already won the gold. So they hugged, and she had won it. So she got to do a victory run.
That's pretty cool.
Her victory run was a 98.2, like her best score ever.
Just let it go?
Yeah, she just went crazy and didn't get conservative and just ripped it up.
Sean White's style. But also the speed and the height he's getting. But I like how he sprayed the crowd at the end of his run.
Sprayed him with snow?
Yeah,
or I mean, sprayed him with like the way champagne?
With snow.
I see.
Gave him a little spray.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
He's good enough that he can do that.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Flying Tomatoes, good. That'll be tonight on NBC. Dog Show is on FS1, and a lot of basketball on as well. We'll be telling you about that throughout the show. Coming up next, though, why are people not going to college football games? It's good, right? We'll talk about that on the Horn.